college guy from
Love
Stanford.
Talk Radio.
Oh, yeah, it's 7:30. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome once again to the Student of the Game. I am Kyle Nash, the Student of the Game, and here across from me in the Student of the Game studios, Stephen Weasel Hurley. We're here on the National Gridiron Network bringing you football talk just the way you like it here. And, of course, folks, we always, always, always talk football here. So I don't want to hear any garbage about opening day. It doesn't exist. The only reason why I know about it is because it was trending on Twitter. That's it. You don't even know what I'm talking about right now, do you, Weasel?
Opening day?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
No idea, do you?
No, I don't actually.
Weasel, where?
Yeah, boy.
That's what I'm talking about here to support me in every front, bringing forth the superiority of the National Football League, football being the best sport, you know, without question.
Yeah.
To all those people, such as our good friend here at the show, Antoine Staley, who write for baseball between sports and all that, that's fine. We don't judge you for doing that, but I'm still going to make fun of baseball. It's okay. At any rate, let's go ahead and get right into it. Weasel, something I want to touch on first, and something that was just released today. The Houston Texans, Danielle Manning, failed his physical. Now, this is something I just can't ever understand. Granted, who am I? I'm 6'5". I'm 300 pounds. Who am I to say a word about whether someone stays in shape? And yet you got these cats who are making pretty healthy salaries failing their physicals. Am I the wrong person to think it's okay to make fun of this guy?
I mean, they get paid to do workouts and stuff. I mean, it's like certain things. It's like, I don't know. It's some of it's ridiculous.
Because I'll tell you, if I'm a GM, you know what I want? I want a player that fails his physical. That gets me excited.
Yeah. Jamarcus Russell.
Yeah. Albert Haynesworth.
Yeah.
Yeah. Classics right there. Want them on my squad right now. I don't know. And what's sad about Daniel Manning, he's actually been a solid player in the past, too. I played for the Bears, had a pretty solid career, done good things for the Texans previous to the past season. The past season's ills of the Texans, of course, certainly not his fault. But, you know, we talked an awful lot about them moving on Schaub to the Raiders last week and a lot of stuff with their draft potential and hopes and all that for the Texans. But enough about that. The big news in the NFL today, whether the Philadelphia Eagles wanted it to happen this way or not, is one DeSean Jackson. On Friday, he was released from the Eagles roster. That's right. All this talk of trades, all this talk that he would probably sign on and stay with the Eagles, all that speculation, well, it was answered on Friday when he was released. But the very strange thing in my mind is his release is due to, quote, alleged gang ties. Now, Weasel, I know that you are the hip-hop expert here on the Student of the Game, and I got nothing here. I'm trying what do you know, if anything, about what connection there is to DeSean Jackson and any sort of gang-related activity? I mean, I got nothing. All I've heard about is this video that's been released on Facebook and YouTube and all this stuff about Ron Jaworski sounding kind of silly describing the gang life. Because, you know, if there's anyone who's got street cred, Weasel, it's one Ron Jaworski. I'm telling you.
Well, the whole thing about DeSean Jackson is that he grew up in an area where, I mean, there were, like, you know, there were not the best role models out there. And the thing that was, you know, where he was from. And it comes up when, I think it was about, like, last month, he had a photo that was taken of him, and he was throwing up what they say is a Crip sign.
The Crips, one of the bigger gangs in the country. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so, yeah, the Eagles, I guess, saw this, and they're like, we got an out, because I don't think they want to pay him about $10, $11 million a year. So it's just that maybe he acted like that with maybe those are his close friends or something like that, but throwing it up, I mean, maybe it was a mistake on his part, but the thing is that he's going to be going to a new team, going to a, you know, new area and stuff, and there's even articles saying how his teachers, counselor, and where he went to high school, they all were saying that he's not a gang member. He was he's a good kid, and I think it's just maybe the area he was in. It's I think that had something to do with it, but I think it's with this whole thing with that's the reason for him being cut, I think it's pretty pretty pathetic. So
interesting. Okay. Well, and I'll say this much. You're talking about the people coming out, you know, on his behalf and all this, on his behest, however you wish to put it. That's PR 101 right there. You know, hey, let's interview everybody who can be, you know, put me in a good light so, you know, they'll understand and give me credibility in light of what took place. I'm not saying I think that, that he is in a gang. I'm just saying that, you know, this maneuver isn't a shocking one. Let's go interrupt. What was it you said? It was his high schoolers. Counselor.
Yeah, there's some people from his high school.
Right.
The higher-ups, the teachers.
And let me clarify, when I say counselor, I mean guidance counselor. I'm not trying to say going to therapy. Let's no, it's not what I meant.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you know, but people in his high school that knew him as a student, right?
Yeah, and some of them even said that he was active, he's still active in the community and stuff like that. I mean,
right.
It's the guy has been, let's see, 2, 4, 6. He's going into his seventh year in the league, and don't think in the past, like, 7 years, I don't think I've heard much about a gang thing with him.
Well, and that's, you know, you're saying all the right things to help me make my point here that I have upcoming. Right now, if there's even a whiff of gang, what's his word, connection to an NFL player, they're going to be in a lot of trouble. Why is that? Interesting, you might ask, Weasel. Well, no, you were going to. You were meant to.
Oh, yeah.
I'm really not making fun of you right now. I'm saying, well, why is that? Good question. remember what happened about this? Well, I'm not going to say about this time, a little bit later, but off-season 2013. Remember what happened? Pretty high-profile player was jailed. Or not jailed, but arrested for something that was gang-related. Remember who that was?
Yeah, I got Aaron Hernandez.
Yeah,
Patriots, former Patriots tight end.
Thank you.
And, yeah, his whole situation, he had, I guess, I think he was the one, it's different where you have DeSean Jackson here, and I don't think the guy, I've heard of anything for, like, his gang involvement and stuff. But the thing about Aaron Hernandez is the guy's got a history.
Right.
I mean, there's like 2 years ago, there was a limo shooting that people think he was
involved.
And he's got the whole thing with this Odin Lloyd,
right,
where he had people like in his car.
He allegedly shot Odin Lloyd. Let's not dance around.
And there were two witnesses with him in that car.
Right.
They didn't come back. they'd had one less passenger. So, for DeSean right now, it's just I think it was like a scapegoat for saying, hey, this is why we're getting rid of him. But for Aaron Hernandez, the guy just...
Right, and I'm not comparing them. Let me be clear about
that. I got you.
I know you got it. I have to say this for the listeners just in case, you know, mm-hmm. just in case I didn't present it properly. I'm covering my butt here. I'm not comparing these two,
mm-hmm.
okay? What I'm declaring is Aaron Hernandez, with his history, with the severity of his allegations, with the damn... document with the damn library of documented evidence of Hernandez's involvement with how you say lowlier elements, or what to say, gangs. You can't bleep me out for gangs, can you? Oh, I just said bleep. Oh, bleep. No. For this quote gang related connection. Now the word gang, people would be like, oh, the next Aaron Hernandez, oh, my God, you know. So I'll put it this way, and I'm going to steal a little bit from one of Chris Rock's older teams. If they're framing DeSean Jackson, if this is indeed a conspiracy theory like you're talking about, well, they did a good job, you know. But I'm not making DeSean Jackson out to be a villain. We have nothing to really go on as members of the media at this time, or the members of the court of public opinion, or however you want to label us, or the fans, or whoever today, the fans obviously aren't the media, duh, to really comment on that, to really make the allegation. This is just the speculation that's been brought forth before us. Let's call it what it is. The question I want to ask, Weasel, is if you're the GM, Like, let's keep you with your team. You're the Vikings, right? And I'm not going to be so ridiculous as to use Adrian Peterson, because we all know he's a pretty upstanding character for the most part. And I think he's got a few things about some alleged things with some bouncer trying to cause some crap with him while he was drunk, whatever. I ain't got time for that. I worry about that. You know, that's not the worst thing. That's not the biggest scandal that's happened in Minnesota when you go back, StarCast, Love Boat, all of that. What I'm trying to get to is this. And by the way, if you want to know knows what those – if you don't know what those are and you want to be reminded, tweet me at the SOG or SOTG or tweet Weasel at Weasel at the – no,
Weasel B-S-O-T-G.
I had it right. Why do I keep second-guessing myself? Please, we keep having this problem, and I keep failing to take your advice to believe that I get it.
That's right.
Damn it. You're always there for me, Weasel. Why can't I believe? I'm too hard on myself. When does this become a therapy show? No. But let's say Cordero, no, he's not. I'm trying to think of a player that's actually good enough for us to care about because we'll go with Cordero Patterson for or Harrison Smith, the safe. No, he's not famous enough. Let's just go with Cordero Patterson for now.
Okay.
Let's say Cordero Patterson is linked to some sort of gang activity. And you're the GM of the Vikings. I mean, what are you supposed to do exactly?
I think as he is a current player in his second year with the Vikings, if you have...
Dropping that knowledge. Don't think I didn't notice that.
Let's see. So that's 2 years being in the league.
Right.
This being his second.
Right. And this isn't the same as Deshaun Jackson being a veteran. But, again, I can't use, like, an Adrian Peterson. It's not really credible. I mean, for the sake of argument, let's just make it Adrian Peterson. Why not? He punched that dude... Because he threw up a Crip sign and needed blood or whatever. Whatever. Okay, fine.
His face got in the way of his fist.
That's right.
It was his fault.
Of course. You know. But no. So let's say that, and again, there's no way this is true, but let's say a player of the caliber of Adrian Peterson is linked to that sort of thing, and you're the GM of the Vikings. It's not public or anything like that, but there's reason to believe. What do you do?
I think the GMs and such thing. And as in this case, the Vikings would, they have to do their homework. And the thing is you can pick a guy that's sketchy, you know. But when it comes to if it's like a serious thing that this Vikings player would have, like if there is gang stuff or is there a past, I think the organization needs to, you know, look more into it.
Right.
And instead of, you know, just cutting the guy straight out, they have to. You can't just go by, you know, hearsay like that. They have a lot of people in the NFL, and you can do, like, you know, like background checks or whatever, stuff like that. But you talk to the people at his high school, college, and all that, and you just need to get a feel of the player because, I mean, he's been, you know, one of those, good players that, you know, no problems with them. But the Vikings do need to protect themselves, and they would need to
Due diligence, basically,
and,
you're saying.
Do their homework on him because you can't just say, oh, he's with gangs and then call it truth. And
without the proper due diligence to back all that up.
You've got to back it up,
You look just as stupid. I totally understand where you're going with that. Here's the thing, though. We're making the bold assumption that the Eagles didn't do that. We, again, just as we don't have enough on the Deshaun Jackson side, we don't have enough on the Eagles side to really know what they did or how they did it.
Well, the only thing I'll say is that how did they try to address this in the past 7 years? That's my question.
Or was there anything to address? This could be like Bountygate where it just kind of came out and over years they kind of noticed, hey, wait, this is happening. I don't know. This is something where we don't really have enough to really assess what happened. But in the situation, with the way things are working in the NFL right now, where image has become so darn important, I mean, you got to worry about this a little bit, right? I don't know. But
got to be mindful, especially with the draft coming up.
Well, especially with the millions of paying these cats, too.
Yep.
You know, anyway, so with that aside, now we've got the gang stuff out of the way. Let's go ahead and take that off the table. So DeJounte Jackson, open market. Where do you think he'll fit? Now, keep in mind, some of the bigger bigger candidates out there on the market, the Raiders, the Bills. But then today, this being Monday, March 31st, Washington Redskins having talks with one DeSean Jackson. Very interesting that he would play his old team twice. Yeah, that's very compelling stuff the more and more I think about it. I don't know. In your mind, where would you like to see a DeSean Jackson go?
Let's see. You would, you know, it would be nice if he goes to a team like, you know, the Steelers or something like that. But I think a good place for him, I think, would be a team that can be really good next year, or they could be pretty bad like last year. Oakland, the thing about it is that they, you know, they need that wide receiver.
Yeah, they need the wide receiver spot, definitely.
They've got the money for it to sign DJ.
They're well under the cap, even with all the acquisitions they've made.
He's clearly a, you know, talented player. He's got one of the top highlights from a couple years ago when he single-handedly, on a punt return, ran back a touchdown for a game winner.
Right, where the Giants punter neglected to listen to the rule of, hey, don't kick it to DeSean, pretty much. But also, keep in mind, DeSean Jackson is also the same guy that pretty much stopped and spiked the ball about 5 yards earlier. Of course, he was a rookie, I'll grant, but, you know.
The guy had 82 receptions, 1,332 yards, and 9 touchdowns. And he is also the return guy. So
right.
I think he would go well with the Raiders. And a team that, because he's a number one wide receiver.
No question.
And let's see, who else would Kansas City may need someone.
I got one for you. Make sure you're not wearing a hat. That's good because I wouldn't want to stay in the inside of it. I'm about to blow your mind. Carolina,
yeah. The little guy Steve Smith's out of there.
Uh-huh.
I agree. That would be a very good one.
Now, granted, I'd have to recheck the salary cap to see if they can actually make him a reasonable offer. But, you know, they did a little cleaning getting Captain Munnerlyn over to your team, the Vikings.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, Steven Smith sent two guys off to wear purple. Very interesting. But DeSean Jackson is a very compelling concept, especially when their best receiver right now is Taquan Underwood or Jericho Cottery.
Yeah.
Yeah, that leaves you a lot of options. Actually, the correct answer is those may be their best wide receivers. The best receiver right now is tight end Greg Olsen. Yeah, and they're talking about things about Cam's ankle acting up. Yeah. Yeah, Cam Newton, yeah.
I think Carolina would be a good place to go.
I'm just saying. You know, this is a talk show. What do you do on talk shows? Say things. Boom. I'm just saying. Anywhere else come to mind for DeSean Jackson?
Number one wide receiver. Maybe the Titans.
The Titans make sense. That's true. Well, you mentioned the Raiders. And they made another very interesting and compelling pickup that we seem to – I don't know that we missed it. I think it happened during the past week.
The two pickups that were pretty big for the Raiders.
Okay, well, let's start with the one that I'm thinking of immediately, which would be one Maurice Jones-Drew, the kid they call Mojo. Now, they resigned McFadden, Brian McFadden, who – to say the least, has been a little loose with the injuries. He's had trouble finishing seasons in general. Weasel has been stung by the bite in fantasy of the injury bug when it comes to McFadden, to say the least.
Mm-hmm.
And Darren McFadden, Run DMC, of course. How do you screw that up, Kyle?
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe I thought it was Run DMC all this time because that would be relevant. No, damn it! Now I have to make fun of myself. Dumb. No. At any rate, so. It's very interesting because you said to me in a text, it's very interesting pickup for the run game of the Raiders if they could stay healthy. You know, it was a very smart observation. My response is, you remember another running back in Jacksonville who you would joke about being injury prone. What's his name?
Fred Taylor.
Fred
Taylor, okay.
And he was never injury prone, but he would have to do a lot of running for the Jacksonville Jaguars, right?
Mm-hmm.
What was the way that they got Fred Taylor to that 10th year in Jacksonville? Had a rookie come in to share the load with him, right? What was that rookie's name?
Little Mojo. Getting
Maurice Jones-Drew, Little Mojo. Just like on my chicken, they like their running game. Look at the Mojo spice right now. What? Can't handle the Mojo spice? Actually, the Mojo Spice. That sounds like a Latin American Spice Girl, doesn't it? Mojo Spice.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I could kind of see that.
You follow me on that one.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, not that I think about the Spice Girls a lot. I just, you know, it made sense to me right then. I got to get sensitive to these sorts of things, but having a daughter at the end of the month, don't judge me. Anyway, so your thoughts on the addition of Maurice Jones-Drew there, Weevil?
When you got Maurice Jones-Drew and you got a guy, Darren McFadden, yeah, as you've been saying, he's kind of, he gets the injury bug every so often. But he's, you know, phenomenal talent. The guy can do stuff like Mojo where they can, you know, they can take the house anytime. But hopefully with what you're saying about the running back committee system,
mm-hmm.
if you got a guy like Maurice Jones-Drew and then you put in McFadden, that's a pretty good 1-2 punch right there.
Ba-bam! Right there, I agree.
McFadden's more like electric, but Mojo will run you over and be more of a, like a, like the wrecking ball player.
Moreover, the versatility of their fullback, one Marcel Reese, something a lot of people forget. This guy, I believe, is at least a 2-time Pro Bowler. He made it at least once. Which is, I think he's a 2-time Pro Bowler. Fantastic player in my book that just doesn't get any attention for one reason alone. He's wearing a silver helmet. If he wasn't in Oakland, a lot more people would know this is Cat. If the Niners didn't have Bruce Miller, for example, I would love to see the 49ers have a Marcel Reese type.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that. Heck, the Vikings fan would probably take him out of go, but Toby Gerhardt is no more in Minnesota, as I understand it, which I don't know why y'all did that. I got to be real.
I'd have to check the contract numbers, but
go with Toby. Gerhardt couldn't have been making that damn much.
Well, he's got to, you know, like, have to sign a new deal and stuff.
They would, but
I know
he would be making that damn much.
Yeah.
I mean, they've cut other people who are worse, but we'll get to that a little later in the show, you know. And there's a couple other running back acquisitions that catch my attention that I want to talk about here. So Mojo going to the Raiders is very interesting. Now, the Raiders, keep in mind, Matt Schaub trying to improve at the quarterback spot. A lot of improvements on defense for the Raiders, Antonio Smith, Justin Tuck, among them. Their corners are pretty solid. They got Terrell Brown from San Fran. They currently also have Woodson, who's on his last leg. They're trying to do some things out there in Oakland. They're creeping up. They're not gonna win the division. We had this discussion, but creeping up. You know,
they'll definitely be competing. So,
mm-hmm. I mean, look, they managed to steal a game away from the Chargers. They may start stealing games from the Chiefs now, possibly. Who knows?
I don't know. Yeah, their whole thing right now for the Raiders is they're drafting like experience. They're drafting these veterans, not drafting, but
signing.
They're signing these veterans, and I mean, you got some big names. And you have, like, just for offense, and you got Schaub, James Jones at wide receiver.
Correct, very good.
You got Mojo. There's linemen Kevin Booth and Donald Penn.
Correct.
And on the defensive end, Tuck, you have a number of names there that are veterans. I think a lot of them have been Pro Bowlers. So
I mean, let's think about that, and let's pretend. Let's say they get DeSean Jackson. Okay, so that's their skill players are Matt Schaub, which is okay. Middle of the road. I know he had a bad year last year, and he's the flavor of the month for everyone to poop on.
It was traded to the Raiders for a 6th-round pick.
Well, hey, so it was Blaine Gabbert to the Niners, so
yeah.
That's pretty painful. But, you know, you missed that I threw the Triumph the Insult comic dog in there. You know, he's the flavor of the month for people to poop on.
Pretty much.
I threw in Triumph and you missed it. Damn it. Come on, Weasel. No, but so then – you already got the running. You got the running core there with Mojo and McFadden. James Jones already picked up. Then you get DeSean Jackson too. Damn.
Yeah.
Granted, I don't think they're out there Peyton Manning and company in Denver at this point. But I can see them beating the Chiefs. See them beating, you know, the Chargers. It's not far-fetched. Anyways, so enough about the Raiders. That's why I'm coughing. It's kind of making me sick talking about the Raiders so much lately. What I'm trying to get to is this. There's been other running backs that have been on the move of late. Speaking of, we mentioned the Broncos earlier. They have parted ways with running back No Sean Moreno.
Now, as teams go that need running backs, this one ranks pretty high in my mind, and I think they did a pretty good job by acquiring one, No Sean Moreno, and that, of course, is the Miami Dolphins. That's right. Ryan Tannehill has had the likes of Daniel Thomas and Lamar Miller supporting him. Hey, Reno, how'd Lamar Miller do for you in fantasy?
Yeah. No comment on that.
Here, I'll comment for you. He was pretty much what it comes down to at this point. And I think, but here's the downside. I think the Dolphins are going to have the same problem with No Sean Moreno that they had with Ronnie Brown. Remember us talking about Ronnie Brown and the Dolphins all the time on this show. What can Brown do for you? Everything. He would even throw touchdown passes. He would catch touchdowns. He would run touchdown passes. He did pretty much everything. He would even block. Everything on offense he could do. I think the only thing he didn't do was intercept a football, because he would have had to make a tackle a few times with some of the mistakes that Chad Henne made. What I'm trying to get to is this, Weasel. No Sean Moreno will give that running support that Ryan Tannehill is so desperately needed. No, I'm not going to start screaming playoffs. But if they had No Sean Moreno this past season, I'd have been screaming playoffs.
Yeah.
You know, fortunately for the Patriots, I should say, they've done a lot to their defense, keeping it strong to supplement their offense, which is, well, gotten rid of a lot of players of late. I mentioned that defense because to not bring up that they ended up keeping Vince Wilfork after releasing the fastest immovable object known to man. They did end up redoing his contract, so they kept Vince Wilfork, so that means they thoroughly upgraded that defense to make the Patriots an early Super Bowl threat. Of course, we really can't be talking about Super Bowl threats in frickin' March. I know technically tomorrow's April, but that's why I want to say, maybe I'm setting up for April Fool's Day. Maybe that's it. I know I got nothing. Anyways, so I don't know. No Sean Moreno to Miami. I think that's a good support answer for that offense.
Yeah, he. If you check out his stats, the thing is like early on it's been like whatever, like not many yards, and then this past year.
Well, it's been not many yards because he's been missing starts.
Yeah, and usually they have like a committee system there, but
right.
This past season he had over 1,000 yards and 10 touchdowns, which
kidding, baby.
Is good. So
kidding, baby.
Hopefully, you know, with them, they have a Tannehill, you know, gets a group with them, and I mean, they can really do some damage with that offense. So,
well, I think it would serve to logic, Weasel, especially with your reaction to Lamar Miller. If you can get a rhythm with Lamar Miller, actually, I don't think Miller ever got a rhythm. But what I'm trying to say is this: I don't think Tannehill is going to struggle making that rhythm happen.
Yeah,
I'm just saying. Before we hit the break here, the other pickup I want to mention really quick for your Pittsburgh Steelers. Yes, that's right. It's confusing, folks, but he does have two teams.
Deal with it.
Yeah, it's not worth getting into it. He starts taking it to a place, and you know, he gets protective, as he should. You know, if you're going to have more than one team, you should be protective of both of them. That's what I say, damn it.
Hey, I got you.
But Weasel's other team, the Pittsburgh Steelers, picked up one, LeGarrette Blount. Weasel, thoughts?
Well, the one thing about the Steelers football is have a great defense and then have a punishing running game. One guy that definitely fulfilled that was Jerome Bettis. The guy was, he was like a bowling ball. The guy was, the ideal football player, especially for
the ideal running back, we'll say.
And I think last year the Steelers had a Jonathan Dwyer. They had a decent running, but with Blount, he's got a pass where the guy is, he can, make the defenses pay. So
when it comes to LeGarrette, let's be blunt. There's little bit of a pass there.
Yeah, so
see what I did there?
I can see that helping him out. The guy stays healthy. Definitely get a little pressure off of big men with him, so.
Well, let's put it this way. In my opinion, in our generation that we've been paying attention in, LeGarrette Blount is better if he's in a committee system. Or, excuse me, the Steelers are better if they're running a committee system. Mm-hmm. And LeGarrette Blount proved with the Patriots he can be a solid member of a committee system. And I'm aware of you saying that his trouble is past. Weasley had the sucker punch thing at Oregon. He didn't get along well with other teams, like he was on the Titan squad at one point, was starting fights at that camp. Those are all, when he's a college kid or he's younger in his career, who knows? Maybe he finally, you know, grew up a bit and realized what it is to be a bit of a professional. You know, it happens. And as far as fitting into the Steelers culture, I think he does. I'm going to put it right there. Guy who will punch the clock and punch you in the mouth with his game. Ooh, perhaps I shouldn't use that analogy. Crap. Now I feel bad. but who will run really hard? I'll at least say that. I mean, look, LeGarrette Blount will smoke defenses. That's what he does.
Yep. I mean, with the Patriots last year, like, he averaged 5 yards a carry, 772 yards, 7 touchdowns. So he gives you that goal line.
Well, and he had what was it, 3 touchdowns against the Colts in their playoff matchup.
Yeah.
I'm trying to tell you.
Yeah.
So anyways, let's go ahead and hit up that break. You are listening to the National Gridiron Network.
The National Gridiron Network. Join us as we tell you what is happening with your favorite team in the NFL or the NCAA. Listen in as we preview every football game week by week till the end of the season. Follow us at NationalGridironNetwork.com and read up on the latest that is happening across your football landscape. NGN, football talk, just the way you like.
And we're back here on the Stupid of the Game, where Weasel's an idiot who doesn't know when break ends. We love you, Weasel. No, but so let's get right back into it here. You're still my boy, Weasel. Weasel, Weasel!
Yeah, boy!
There, he's back. Okay. Oh, he at least still answers his cue. I'll give him that much. So next thing we had on the list we didn't get a chance to talk about because it happened after our show last week. Michael Vick to the Jets. Now, Weasel, let me ask you the controversial question. Geno Smith, their current starter, last year rookie sensation out there, playing for New York Jets out there in East Rutherford. Michael Vick, is there much of a difference there to you?
Well, I think Vick definitely has the, he's a lot more mobile than just missed my train of thought with the...
Well, you think Vic is more mobile than Geno Smith?
Okay, yes.
At this point in his career?
Not at this point. But at one time, Vic was like, you know, he's a run-first guy. And recently when he went to the Eagles, though, he, found out you could still make passes in the pocket. And I think if he starts, he's got to stay healthy because I think last year, Geno Smith needed some time to sit. I think he was kind of thrusted out there, and I mean Sanchez with him not being having your mentor being a guy that one of his famous plays was a butt fumble. It's like
ouch.
It's like I think with Vic, I mean the guy has matured a lot, and I think he can help out with Geno Smith's game, and especially with him being able to sit back and learn, because a lot of quarterbacks out there, it's like. You just can't throw him out there like that. And Geno Smith was like started off okay, but as the season went down, it went downhill. So I think he's a great signing for the Jets, and I believe he's going to start. But for Geno, I think it'll be good for him to have some time.
Well, okay, look, let's get a couple things straight here. Geno Smith did a good job. He did a better job than I certainly thought he would do with the Jets. I didn't miss on him as bad as I did with Cam Newton, because boy, did I really miss the boat on that. But Geno Smith did better than arguably he was supposed to, and the fact that the Jets were in playoff contention at any point in the past season, the wiser Jets fan will tell you, hey, that was overachieving, but I'll take it. You know, I mean, come on. You know, I didn't think the Niners would get it to conference championship Sunday, but I'll take it.
With the way that Sanchez was like the past couple seasons and stuff, it's tough to say he had like that mentor.
He didn't have that mentor.
Yeah.
Let's be clear: the only other talented quarterback, other than him, who was on that roster was Mark Brunell at like 172 years old.
Still going strong.
Well, I mean, dude, he was in his 40s. He looked good in preseason games.
Yeah. But I think I think he's, you know, been through a lot, and especially with the label of like being a running quarterback,
mm-hmm.
he's changed, and I think he'll be a positive role model for Geno Smith.
Well, let's talk about, you know, Vic growing up, for example. Like, you know, he made the statement that he was prepared to be a backup in Philly after Nick Foles did what he did. Somebody's like, I was talking actually on the Op Nation with on Earnestly Speaking with EJ Christian and, of course, G Steele, who will co-host with him on occasion there. G Steele was like, man, Vic didn't mean that. He's still a bad personality. Yada, yada. I'm like, there was a day where he would have acted out. This isn't like Alex Smith whining because the Niners thought about talking to Peyton Manning over him.
They threw a lot of cash at him, too.
Yeah, well, and yeah, and Alex was like, well, he's like, well, here you go. It's okay, white crybaby, you know. Or it's not like Terrell Pryor going, trade me, I'm not starting. He, at least publicly, took the high road, which is more than a lot of cats do at that position nowadays, it seems.
You have some players, and one of them was Sanchez saying that, you know, wherever he goes, he wants to. He wants to start and stuff, which is, you should be like that.
Yeah, you're right.
When part of being like the quarterback, you have to, part of being like, you know, a backup is that sometimes you've got to let the other guy do his thing. And him saying that about Nick Foles, saying, you know, I'll be the backup to him, and that says a lot. And when he goes to the Jets, you can be that starter once again and actually help out, you know, the younger guy on the team in Geno Smith.
Here's why I like the Vic move by the Jets. They need some bleeping buddy. Just some bleeping buddy. Greg McElroy's officially retired, so that backup's out the window, right? I mean, we mentioned Matt Schaub last week and earlier this week going to the Raiders and all this other stuff. How did Matt Schaub make a name for himself?
Pick six?
No, that's not how he made a name for himself. That's how people know him now.
Well, he was Vic's backup.
He was Vic's backup
at the Falcons.
It's damn right. And had a lot of good performances doing it when Michael Vick was missing, especially, I believe it was even during the year where they ended up going to Lambeau Field back when it was still so scary and unwinnable and more.
What I think some teams try to do is they select a guy like him, and I think he was in the third – Schaub was picked in the third round with the Falcons. So they showcase him, you know, and they say, you know, this guy can be good in the league. And they end up training him over to, I believe it was the Texans, and I think they got two second-round picks out of it.
Right.
So I think NFL teams try to do that. You have with Matt Flynn and stuff.
You're taking this way too far away, though.
A little bit, yeah.
Let's keep it with Vic right here. Because, mm-hmm. okay, so Schaub did a good job being Vic's backup. Kevin Kolb got paid being Michael Vick's backup. And then say he was any good, so he got paid.
Yeah.
Because right? he went over to Arizona, and then to Buffalo. Got two more jobs on the strength of solely being Michael Vick's backup.
Mm-hmm.
Nick Foles, damn hero in Philly right now, on the strength of being Michael Vick's backup. And Chip Kelly's offense.
Mm-hmm.
Vick is going to miss games. That's what all this proves. It's not a matter if Vick is going to miss games in an NFL season. He will miss games in an NFL season. That just is what it is. You just kind of hope and pray that if you make the playoffs, he doesn't get hurt late in the season. So you have to have a backup that's at least mid-level. Now, 8-8 record, that's mid-level in the NFL, don't you think?
Yeah.
Bam, Geno Smith.
Mm-hmm.
The Jets are equipped to have Michael Vick as a starting quarterback today. Of course, that's assuming that Michael Vick is named the starter. What if Geno Smith is named the starter? Good question, Weezer. You're on fire tonight. Geno Smith ain't exactly made it through an entire season. Granted, it's only his one season. Should he prove to continue to be injury-prone? Michael Vick right there, ready to step in on temporary basis.
Mm-hmm. They're in good shape. And as for the Eagles, though, they got a good guy in Nick Foles, but they actually got Mark Sanchez.
Oh, yeah. I like how you made the transition there for me. Yeah.
Like,
while the Jets upgrade, the Eagles. Eagles find a new backup or somebody worthy of being a backup who's lonely enough to be a backup in Mike Sanchez. And to really make matters work, including with for our really good friend and Eagles fan, Big TJ, who abhors USC quarterbacks. See, Sanchez, USC quarterback, joins the Eagles roster right next to Matt Barclay, a second USC quarterback. Big TJ, so I can say it so the world can hear me. My heart bleeds for you, dog. I'm not even an Eagles guy, but you got to feel bad for a man who's in that plight, such as Big TJ is. I mean, I don't have a problem with USC quarterbacks like he does either. I kind of like Carson Palmer, but, man, I wouldn't dare say that when Big TJ's on the show. Come on, you've been there for that, right? I've got to have him back on just to go through that rant just again, man. You know what I'm talking about.
Whatever happened to, is it Booty?
John David Booty.
Yes.
You're only bringing that up.
Booty, 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 rocket everywhere.
Every time you got a first down, you would have an excuse to go, booty, 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 rocket. You would, and you know what? I couldn't blame you because that would be the best damn theme music a quarterback could have.
Yeah.
You'd have Christian groups all pissed off and everything. It'd be great.
Yeah, it's a great jersey for women to wear.
Booty?
Yeah, of course. Seriously.
I could see how that goes if he was a famous quarterback. So what's my numbers look like? Well, see, here's the thing, John. You have a lot of jersey selling, but it's in plus-size women's. I'm just saying, dude. There's nothing wrong with that, but I would just find that extremely funny. That's just me. I don't know, man. Booty, 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 booty. See, now I feel like I should have that on the damn soundboard. I blame you, Weasel. I blame you.
Okay, I'll have to there is a with Rex Ryan.
Uh-oh.
There's a picture of this tattoo. I think it was of his wife in like.
We're not doing this.
Don't you think?
Don't bring up the Sanchez jersey tattoo with his wife. That's
yeah.
You're better than that.
Is it,
why
don't
you talk about Tony Romo and Jessica Simpson on the cruise? You're better than that.
What do? Do you cover it up, or do you go to a show like I like watching the show Tattoo Nightmares?
Oh, good.
But should they change the number to someone else? But I don't know.
I'm glad you evolved past Jersey Shore. I'm proud of you, dog.
Yeah.
Well, they also canceled it. So
that's true. I had to move on.
Hey, don't cry into the mic. That mess is expensive, though. Anyway, actually, speaking of things that would cause you to cry into the mic as a Vikings fan, the next free agency concept we need to talk about here right now is defensive end in the NFC North. And in this case, specifically one, Jared Allen. No longer a Viking. Dun, dun, dun!
Yeah.
Harrison Smith now, the most relevant player on defense for the Vikings, in my humble opinion. I don't know. You have anybody any better there? What about Cook, that already the Niner now?
But for defensive ends?
For defense, period. Defensive players on the Viking squad. Who should I get excited about other than Harrison Smith?
Brian Robinson's been playing all right, and
you keep bringing him up. He's decent, but
I said all right.
Okay.
And the thing
Jimmy
like
Floyd is
Kevin,
pretty
Kevin
young.
Williams still chugging along.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Just signed some defensive tackle and stuff.
Right,
and,
right.
But the thing about Jared Allen is that, I mean, usually when a guy would go to a rival team in the division, I mean, the Vikings fans, they should hate him. But the thing is, But the thing is that the guy he plays his passion. I think he had a choice. I think he went to some teams, and one of the teams he went to was in Seattle. He could have signed with Seattle, but the reason why I think he picked the Bears was that they would give him more of you're an all-down guy. You would play first, second, third down. And I think with Seattle, he would be a little bit more situational. So he made the choice for the Bears, and it wasn't to do with, like, you know, getting back with the Vikings or anything. He had a great career.
He wants to still be a force, though.
Yeah, he wants to be a force, and the guy is a force, and he's a good motivator, not only for the players out there, his fellow teammates, because he, you know, plays with, like, a motor and stuff, but the fans also love the guy. So the Bears, I mean, they picked up a great player, great guy, and they didn't have to lose any draft picks for him. It's tough to replace a guy like Julius Peppers.
Oh yeah,
but they actually did it, and Jared Allen was a good move for them.
Yeah, they did it by ripping the very heart of the freaking Vikings defense out.
Could have paid them more.
Well, right. I mean, but if you're the Vikings, how do you get past that? What's the move here? You go after DeMarcus Ware? I mean, what?
Well, he already went somewhere.
Oh, so much for that.
But the thing is, I mean,
let me rephrase: a DeMarcus Ware type.
Yeah. Well, I think it's wear down pretty thin for, because there's not many Jared Allens or Julius Peppers out there. So
whatever, I can make one in my lab next week.
you tell someone, yeah, we upgraded Julius Peppers, and you're like, to who? Because
called to a cyborg.
You see with a guy that, you know, with that talent and all, that's like the highest you're going to get. But they actually made an improvement with Jared Allen. He's good. He's definitely great at rushing the passer. He's been averaging, I think it was like 11 sacks per season.
Oh, yeah, it's ridiculous. So if he does decline, he'll be down to 8 sacks. Oh, no.
Yeah. So, but, I mean, the guy chose the team so he could play. And he's great. Having his little lasso rope up a cast celebration, the guy's just pretty awesome. So I wish him the best, except, you know, when he plays the Vikings, of course. So.
Right. Well, and I also wish you the best, that your wife has not caused you too much mental trauma by well, come on now. Your wife being a Bears fan and your wife being an outspoken Bears fan, don't act like there's been nothing.
Okay. Well, the thing is, the way I look at it is that Jared Allen going to the Bears was like, okay, all right. Now, the thing is if a guy like Brandon Marshall went over to the Vikings, that would be ugly.
So she would feel slighted. She'd feel more
that's
slighted.
That's a boy.
If you
that's stole. Her boy.
Yeah, no. it's kind of funny. So it'd be more of a slight if Julius Peppers went to, because I'm not even bringing up Brandon Marshall, because that just gets complicated.
Oh, yeah.
Because of the whole alumni of the same college thing and all that other kind of stuff. I'm trying to get into that. But if Julius Peppers went to the Vikings, there'd be a little bit more trouble on that end of the Hurley household if that's how it went down.
Yeah, it's good to have a good competition, but it's just, yeah, if she tries to get me mad about Jared Allen, I'm like, no, that's okay. I'm good.
You needed something to fill your heart with Julius Peppers. Yeah.
So,
by the way, how many times have you made the playoffs lately yourself? Too real? Okay, yeah, don't get hurt, Weasel. Anyways, I don't know. For me, I understand that it was a money thing. I understand that the Vikings need to rebuild.
I don't think they paid, they broke bank too much, but.
Who are you talking about, the Bears?
The Bears.
Right, but I mean, it's not so much whether the Bears broke the bank, it's what the cap number would have been.
Yeah.
Towards the Vikings, and I think that was certainly a factor here. And I don't know. How did you pay Josh Freeman too much last year? I mean, what? Is Christian Ponder breaking your bank? No, I don't. Who do they have? Cordarrelle Patterson's looking sharp. Oh, AP's good, but he's going to be on his way out.
Rudolph's a good tight end.
Kyle Rudolph is good. He's not marquee, but he's a good support guy, I'll grant. That O-line is still pretty decent. Certainly no line is as good as it is after it parts with a Steve Hutchinson. I understand that, but, you know, he was like 182 years old himself, so I get it. Greg Jennings is supposed to be that exciting at 155 years old?
Well, he's a little bit up there, but
yeah.
It's a... I think the quarterback situation is a whole different show.
Well, and maybe they're trying to clear up that much money to throw a metric ton of money at some quarterback at some point, but who would that even be at this point? Are they going to try to make a move for Colin Kaepernick next year? Actually, maybe I shouldn't even joke about that.
I think that's going to be we'll have to wait for the draft.
I guess. Well, even still, for the draft to have that much, I don't know. I haven't checked their cap issues yet. That's my own fault. I probably should look at that before I make this sweeping judgment. But I don't know. For me, you should at least franchise Jared Allen for one more year to give the fans some hope that you're trying.
I don't think it's gonna ruin their team. I think it's something that's gonna it would definitely.
Their defense has kept them in games, and they have no offense. I don't think it's gonna ruin the team, huh?
Whole thing with the no offense.
Such a strong word.
I think I don't know. I think a part of it was the quarterback situation, but
sure.
But the thing is they've got, you know, some talent around in the offense, and Jared Allen will be missed. Great guy. But
other than Harrison Smith and Sharif Floyd and Brian Robinson, I can't name another Vikings defensive player without doing the research.
You say Kevin Williams?
I should know Kevin Williams, sure.
Yeah. I think Chris Cook played all right. And
well, Cook is no longer
playing. That's right. He was there. They need some – they'll be looking for defensive players in the draft.
Ah, there's that optimistic fanhood I was hoping for. Anyway, so got about 9.5 minutes left in the show. Something I want to touch on here because we are following it as it progresses here on the Student of the Game, and that is going back to the Northwestern lawsuit. Well, what is that, Kyle? What do you care about things that are going on in Seattle? No, Northwestern University. Come on. Anyways, no. But so the Northwestern athletes, I should say, put together a suit against the University of Northwestern, right? Trying to get the right to unionize, essentially. You all right, Dylan?
I'm good.
I mean, if you think something's funny, that's fine, but I mean, I need to give you capacity to turn off your mic.
Continue.
Please, let's see. Anyway, so the thing about this hearing, this trial, this proceeding, whatever you want to call it, Weasel, is the players actually won the right to unionize, thus setting what is called in the legal system a precedent. And judgments and rules in law are made off of precedent. That means there's precedent for these students to unionize as players and campaign or negotiate for certain rights, more tests with concussions and things like that, more support from the universities, and more importantly, to more formally broach the topic of student-athletes getting paid. Now, Weasel, on this show, we've both been very public that we are not pro the concept of the college athlete getting paid. Matter of fact, I find it something that will be the ruin of the system. That will be the ruin of the system. And before, up to this point, everything was hypothetical. But now that we have this ruling, Weasel, in your mind, are we looking at the first domino?
Well, this whole thing about this lawsuit is that these players in college, it's just you don't have just the NFL. You don't just have college football. You have college basketball, men's and women's. You have soccer. You have all this stuff. And where you go to draw a line about who gets paid, who gets, like, for supposedly being, you know, an employee with a university.
Right.
It just, you know, gets me mad that these guys, most of them are on academic scholarship. Some of them are on scholarship because of academics.
Well, some are academics, right. We're talking specifically about athletic conversations here, athletic scholarships.
Right.
And
but
exchange.
Also, of course, there are the athletic scholarships. And
right.
I think with that, if you get, like, you know, a full ride or something, you get more scholarships, you're actually making money.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, that's the whole old thing about hard work and stuff. But the whole thing with this Northwestern lawsuit is that these players, how would you give them, like, hourly wages? I mean,
yeah.
How would you go about this, and where's that money going to come from? Because not all colleges are, like, you know, the Gators or Florida State or
Alabama,
where
football with basketball, they're not all Duke, they're not all North Carolina, they're not all Kansas, whatever.
Yeah, so the whole thing about scholarships, you got to work hard to get the athletic one and the academic one, and to be paying these players if they're even, you know, been thinking about doing it, it's just doesn't make sense how someone on the team that's the best player, like James Winston on Florida State, how do you pay him with, like, the backup punter? Should they get paid the same amount of money? But, I mean, I heard, like, you know, give them, like, what, minimum wage, but if you multiply that by how many players are in each college that are in sports, that's a lot of money, and it'll come out of the paycheck. It'll come out of the budget for a lot of teams. So
a lot of the smaller sports, too. And it isn't just about big sport versus little sport. We made the point before, too, when Title IX starts getting involved, they're going to have to pay the women, too.
Yep. Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
And look, I'm all for women's sports. They should exist. You know, if my daughter, when she gets older, wants to play in sports, I'm going to support that. There's not a question. But if this goes through, it may not happen until after my daughter's out of college. That's a whole level of complication that's involved. But the possibility that she could be taken away from having that option because these guys didn't handle their stuff correctly bothers me. Now, I will grant there are some things that unionizing is worthwhile for. Better medical care, for example, and also once a team offers a full ride, they can't rescind it if you hurt yourself. Okay? Too many times it happened where you're a running back, defensive end, whatever player, the backup punter, whatever it is, and you blow out your knee fulfilling this scholarship agreement. That you go out there, you play football for this school, you get hurt on the field, you get hurt doing the thing that you're supposed to be doing for the school, and then they pull their scholarship. That's straight garbage. You want to unionize for that to go away? That's one thing. If you want to unionize for better support, that's one thing. If you want to unionize to go, hey, I can't even get a damn job on campus, well, not just on campus, I can't even get a job going to school because of the rules of recruitment and things with boosters and stuff like that, that's one thing. Getting straight up paid hourly wage, trying to get yourself considered as an employee of the institution, that's a bridge too far. I'm with you on that.
Yeah.
I don't know. We could do a whole damn hour on it. We have done most of an hour on that.
Well, I think with the players wanting the union and stuff, I think maybe it's more towards better treatment of the players, like maybe for like a certain amount of time for water breaks or certain things like that, I think. They're fighting for that. They're fighting for something like that. It's okay because they're trying to improve their conditions.
Player safety is one thing; greed is another.
And yeah, because I mean, sometimes you've had players like they drive like heat exhaustion and stuff like that. So uh-huh. if they're talking about that kind of stuff, you want to have the players be treated better. Yeah. That's one thing. But yeah, I just don't like the idea of college kids outside scholarships getting paid hourly wages. And
no, if you want scholarships to cover more, that's one thing. But just outright, no.
These guys, their total time usually for the hours they put in for a week is like 40 to 50 hours.
Well, some even say 60 by some estimation.
So
I don't know.
So yeah, it's going to be more about this later, so we'll see how it stands out.
That's just the latest here. But anyway, speaking of lateness, we are getting towards the end of our time here on the Student of the Game. If you want to follow us on Twitter, I am Kyle Nash at the SOTG, the Student of the Game himself. Of course, you can also hit up Weasel, Weasel the SOTG on Twitter, at Weasel the SOTG. And, of course, check out the Facebook page, the Student of the Game Facebook page there, too. Always, we got our tweets out there, too, so you can check it out there. You can check out everything we update. It's a good time. We're What can you say? Of course,
I am.
Check out the National Gridiron Network's website, nationalgridironnetwork.com, who hosts us here on their fine network. What can I say? Good bunch of content you get there. Got Teron Davenport, got Twans Daly, got a bunch of solid writers who do a lot of good things. And, hey, Sharona Fabulosa, man, let me tell you what. She put some spins on some opinion pieces. I'm trying to get her to get more involved with some of the later topics here. Always an interesting read. Of course, if you want to read the opinion of one of our writers on the site regarding college players getting played, look out for John Doucette's piece. It's coming soon as well. And, of course, draft coverage from all the awesome Drew Glukoff, Brandon Pemberton, Pat Oakley, Peter Clark, Brandon Howard. There's so many awesome names on the NationalGridironNetwork.com. Of course, don't forget our partners at ProPlayerInsiders.com. A lot of good things going on there. Wow. Just got a whole lot of good stuff, Weasel.
Work.
Can't front on that. Anyways, for Stephen Weasel Hurley, I am Kyle Nash. And here on the Student of the Game, class is dismissed. I really need to get that bell fixed.